songs to learn, and we just really look forward to doing this play for you guys. Bye.
That's exciting. Awesome. Thanks, Pam. Many of you were here last weekend, and you saw a couple get water baptized at the river. Right? How cool was that? Roxanne and Damien. And some of you maybe missed that right after that, they announced that they're getting married. How cool is that? And at first it was going to be in December, and then they actually bumped it up, so now it's in November. So, yeah, we're just like rejoicing with you guys. It's just so, thank you, Lord. And so any way that you feel led to bless them, just go for it. We have a team coming in a month, and I'd just like to encourage you to come out for that. I think it's going to be really powerful. Margaret and Dawn have been down there to Medicine Hat and been with them, Global Prayer Prayer House. And so it's some young adults, and there's a whole team coming. And that's going to be on December 2nd and 3rd, 2 p.m. in the afternoon on Saturday. There's going to be stuff going on throughout the day. They're going to be teaching on evangelism and on worship, and they're going to be having one surprise topic they're going to be talking about. That's going to carry on right into Sunday. They're going to be taking over the Sunday worship, and then we'll have a potluck after that. So hope you don't miss that. It's going to be really cool. Yep. Little testimony about yesterday. So there's several of us that were at the men's prayer retreat, and I could say a lot of things about what the Lord did there. So just, Lord, I give you my tongue. There was 22 men there yesterday afternoon. That's a testimony in itself. I've never attended a church where it was the men leading. And the other cool thing, I was sitting there in the living room, and I went, every single male board member is here. Ah! You know, it's just so cool to see just men just hungry after God and just desiring the things of the Spirit and desiring to see the Lord move in their heart and clean up the filth that the devil has done in their life. So, Gaston, do you feel released to share a little bit of kind of what you shared in the prayer room? Or is that more of a private? Yeah? Okay, I'm going to let you share that, and then I'll touch a little bit on what the Lord did in me.
Well, you know, the Lord works among us, huh? So I went to this meeting yesterday with a friend, and, you know, he told me a bit of his story He tells me a little bit of his story on the way there, you know, kind of difficulties in his life. But on the way back, he tells me, wow, he says, that was good teaching there. On the way there, when we first there, he could hardly talk. He was afraid. He didn't really trust me. He didn't know me, and there was hardly any talk. And he told me that I had suffered from mental illness and a little bit of schizophrenia. He was diagnosed as schizophrenic when he was 15, and you know, those are difficult issues. And so on the way back, he says, well, that was good teaching there. It was good teaching. I said, what do you mean? Well, he says, I was able to forgive. I was able to enter into forgiveness. I said, okay, that's good. I said, well, I was able to forgive my mom. You know, my mom, if my mom hurt me, then it's difficult, right? It's difficult to forgive. So it lasts a long time where you have not forgive, many years of not forgiving. And he says, a little bit later he says, I've never been this free. You know, that's something for him to say that. I didn't bring it out of him. He said it himself. I said, what touched you there? He says, well, the teaching was really good. There was the Word of God, the washing of the Word. It was just touched me. And, you know, this is what it's all about. We get together. We think it's for us, but you don't know who's... You know, the Word of God is preached. You don't know who you touch. Touch somebody's heart. You don't calculate your seed. You throw the seeds. But so just that, for me, like, I didn't expect that. But he was the one that was touched for me. He was the one. God is there. God God touched us, eh? Like the seed we're going to get today, we're going to touch us. We expect it. We expect God to tweak us one way on another. And God does that. He never disappoints us every week in here. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Thanks, Gaston. Any of the other men, did you have anything that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart to, as a quick testimony that were there? Most of the men are still there. A few of us came back. So if you have something, just, I don't know, throw something at me. I had an opportunity to share last night, and I just completely just went like this with my heart, and I put a whole bunch of light on a whole bunch of darkness that Satan had in my life, generational stuff from the time, my earliest childhood memories. And by being vulnerable like that, it just completely opened up the room. The Holy Spirit came in, and there was a lot of Kleenexes getting used up. And, you know, we don't want to share details, right, because that's just the work of the Lord. But coming back, Don and I were talking last night, like, how do we cultivate, I don't know if cultivate's the right word, but how do we provide an atmosphere for this healing and deliverance to continue going forward, and rather than just twice a year? And so what we really realized there was there's a lot of work that the Lord wants to do, and he's willing to do it, but we just have to just step out and actually just provide an opportunity. So, you know, we're tossing around a couple of ideas of maybe some home group meetings, something like that. So if you've been struggling in an area, you know, repetitious thoughts, suicide, addictions, and you've not been able to get free, come speak to one of the elders, somebody here, and just, you know, let us know that you'd be interested in coming out for some inner healing, some prayer, that sort of thing. Tim, if you can hit, can somebody grab the light? Just this bank of lights. Thanks, Margaret. So I'm just going to show something quick here on the website. And then, so excited that you're here. Stan has an amazing announcement. I'm so excited. I'm not going to steal your thunder. But so for those of you who are new and haven't been here for a bit, this is our website. The address is pottershandsministries.org. And Google really likes Potter's Hands, in case you guys didn't know. But you can pretty much Google just even the word potters, and we come up. But that's partly because every weekend we take notes of the service and we put an audio recording. And at the bottom of this, you can actually type in notes. And if any of you ever feel led to do that, it really helps with our search engine ranks. And over here on the right is ways that you can follow us. So you can follow us on Facebook. And this little button right here is it's a newsletter. Both of these are newsletters. Yeah, that one where the mouse is. If you drop your email address into there, anytime we do an update to the website, you'll get an email letting you know, oh, there's a new post on, or whatever we do to the website, you'll get notification of it. And we have a newsletter list that we email people. And then if the Lord has prompted you to give financially, that button there is a way you can give online as well. This link, Helping at Potters, is the various different ways that you can get involved with helping going forward, volunteering, that sort of thing. Lights, thank you. That is it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so excited. Lord, thank you for just what you're doing here. Lord, you're on the move. Help us to not miss you in it. Yeah. Let your word come forth with power and conviction, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us leave encouraged. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah.
You say amen? Is it good to be here or what? Oh, yeah. And honestly, like, it is, to me, it's a miracle when 22 guys get together and they want to talk about intimacy. Like, you know, guys aren't all that good about that. And when we talked yesterday, I was sharing that probably some women should be teaching us about this, because women are a lot better at intimacy than guys are. You know, women hold each other's hands when they go, they say, let's go to the bathroom. Guys don't ever do that. Hey, you want to go to the bathroom with me? You know, that doesn't happen. So some of you girls who are waiting for your guys to come home, they might come home totally changed, you know. Yeah, They're going to learn to make eye contact, and they're going to learn to hold hands and what intimacy, you know, really is. And we talked about how, yeah, that's something in marriage, but that's something in our relationship with God too, that we need to have that intimate walk with God, and it takes a man's man to be willing to do that. It takes a man's man to cry and weep tears of joy and sorrow sometimes, and that we need to let those emotions just flow in the right and the proper way. But it was exciting, and I missed last night because we had to get back because I had to get ready for this. But I just heard about the powerful moving of the Holy Spirit and testimonies and a time of ministry. You know, we've got to believe, and this is really true, that when we pray for each other, and I'm seeing this more and more and more, that God's answering those prayers, that there's power in prayer, that things would not be happening like they're happening among us if it wasn't for the prayer. And that's an exciting thing. God wants to develop us and to turn us into the church that's alive. The church that is resurrected because of the resurrected Lord. And there have been some of you, you know, you've been receiving some healing lately. And like we do every Sunday, there will be opportunity again for prayer today. So I'm just making that known. Teresa just said to me earlier, she said, you know, I won't say what you prayed for. But twice, she said, twice in the last little while, I stood up for prayer at the end of the service. And you know what? Both times, it worked. So that's revelatory. This works. This actually works. This whole idea of praying to God, guess what? It works. God listens. God hears. God delivers, right? God saves. So this is for you. After I'm done preaching, we're going to have a time of prayer again. You can come up for prayer. Whatever that's for, you decide that. And we're not here to twist your arms. We're not here to make you, you know, feel one way or another. Just to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you, that he came and he died for you, that he asks us to surrender our lives to him, and that he will work out whatever it is that you're struggling with. He works it out. He's done that for many, many of us. Not saying that life is always easy, because it isn't. Not saying that there won't be troubles. We talked about that last week a little bit. There still will be hard things that we go through, but he goes through those hard things with us. He leads the way. Amen? Amen. And I hope it's okay if I ask you, you shared that, just a little bit of a vision. Can you do that today? Just share just this picture. Come on up. Because this is what we need to, this is what God's been laying on my heart, is that we need to celebrate what God's doing. And I'm seeing this. And I think some of you, many of us are seeing this, that there's some amazing, unbelievable, miraculous wonders of God. The wonders of God are right in front of us. The Bible says that we need to proclaim the wonders of God, and that's what we're doing. So tell us a little bit about what happened and what you share with me. This is Anita.
So I was praying Thursday morning with a friend. And while we were praying, the city of Red Deer came in front of me, and it was black. But all the way around the whole city, there was a golden ring, and it was shining bright. And all the people were inside this circle, and they were on their knees in this darkness. And from heaven came this light that was so bright. And it was just shining down on all of the people that were laying on their knees before God.
Thank you, God. That's a vision of the glory of God. It's a vision, you know, that God's got a special place in his heart for Red Deer. And we are beginning to see how God is changing things in Red Deer. We're beginning to see, and it's exciting because he's using us. He chooses to use his children to clean up and to shine the light and to bring good news. We're beginning to see that. We're going to hear more about that as the service goes on. But isn't that exciting? That lives are being changed. You know, here's a miracle, or maybe this is using that term a little too lightly, but we went and had a baptism last week. Anybody want to get baptized today? Put your hands up. The river's just over here. I mean, it was a week ago. Can you believe this? A week ago, and it was cool. Chad said, well, it was more than cool. It was cold. It was cold. And Gertie would attest, and Crystal, we were in the water, you know, with Roxanne and Damien, and you're here today. Damien is at the men's retreat. Praise God, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Lives are changed. You know, if you get in the water, I can tell you this is a fact. You get in the water, and it is two above, and it is blowing gusty winds. You're doing this, and you're serious about it. You don't get in the water otherwise. Amen? And one of the things that I was really proud about is that there were like 40 of us that kind of gathered around Damien and Roxanne, and when I say we gathered around, we literally huddled around, grabbed each other, held on for dear life, and prayed for them, and we found a nice quiet place under the bridge, a nice quiet where there wasn't really windy, and then we quickly went in the water and quickly came out. Let's give God a big hand and a big cheer. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's good. So we may be cutting holes in the ice this winter. Whatever God wants. Amen? I'm going to just switch now to my mic, okay? So I want to look at that passage again. I have a green light. Am I working here? Okay, good, good. So let's read that passage again. Last week we looked at the story of Elijah and the widow from Zarephath. And she was a widow who was, as you might remember, she was right in the middle of really the heart of where this idolatry, the Baal worship, that's where it was coming from. The Baal worship was infiltrating Israel. God's people, God's special people were worshiping other gods. They were worshiping Baals. And it was coming from Zarephath of Sidon, which is where this widow was from. And God sends his prophet, Elijah, who is a powerful man of God. He sends him to the widow and he says, this is going to be an example for all of Israel. It's kind of like just a little snapshot. What I'm going to do with you and with this widow, I am going to do for all of my people. I am going to provide for them. We sang Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's what this story is about, that God's a provider. God provides for this widow. God provides for her son. God provides the oil that never runs out and the flour in the jar that never runs out. So while there's a famine in the land, God provides. Yep. And that's true. It's been true in my life. And probably you'd say, yeah, that's been true in your life too. There's been times in my life when there's been a famine in the land. I've been going through a dry time. We've had dry times in my life. I've had times of real struggle and real difficulty. That's just life. You have that too. But I can look back at those dry times and testify that God was with me every single step of the way. No matter what that hard thing was, no matter what that broken thing was, God was with me. He never abandoned me. Jesus made that promise. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. It's still true. You can attest to that? Everyone agree with that? Yeah? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll continue to provide for you. I love you. It may not be exactly, you may not be eating at the keg every night, but I will provide for you. And I'm going to provide. I'm going to show you what a great God I am and that you're mine and you belong to me and I love you and you don't need to worry. I hear your prayers. Man, sometimes there have been times in my life when I wondered about that. God, do you really hear my prayers? Are you really listening? I keep talking and maybe I'm talking too much. Maybe I just need to listen. Because God says, yes, I hear you. You're my son, and I love you, and don't worry. I've got things well in hand. So there was a lot to worry about back in Zarephath. There was no water, and we get the story. I'm not going to read the whole story again, but we have this story of this older lady who's got a little boy, and she's picking up sticks. She's going along the way, and she's grabbing a twig here and a stick there, and then she comes up, she looks up, and she sees Elijah, and she's got this bundle of sticks, and he says, what are you doing? And she says to him, well, I'm just getting a bundle of sticks here because I'm going to make a fire, and then I'm going to make one to go, just enough oil and just enough flour to make one more English muffin or whatever it is, one more, and we're going to eat this, and we're going to die, she said. That's where she was at. There was no hope. There was no hope. We're just gonna have this last meal, in fact, she says. Let's look at that. If you have your Bible, it's in 1 Corinthians 17. 1 Corinthians 17. Sorry, yeah, they're different, aren't they? Yeah, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. And so it says, verse 10, so he went to Zarephath, that's Elijah, when he came to the town gate, this won't be on the overhead, I'll get to that in a minute, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and he asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called out, and bring me please, at least he said please, a piece of bread. And she goes, well, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And then Elijah says, oh, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me, and from what you have, bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Amen? Amen. And so she went away and did as Elijah had told her, and there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Amen. But now let's read the rest of the story. And so sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. And he took him from her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. And he laid him on his bed and he cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy also upon this widow that I am staying with by causing her son to die? And then he stretched himself out on the boy three times, and he cried out to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. And the Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. And this is where everyone should be going, woohoo, yay, right? And Elijah picked up the child, and he carried him down from the room into the house, and he gave him to his mother, and he said, look, your son is alive. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth. Let's look at the second part of this story. It's in some ways, the harder part of the story. And one of the things that I think maybe I didn't emphasize enough last week was just my complete admiration. I have admiration for this widow. I think most of us do when we read this story, you know. That she would open her house to Elijah, that she would listen to him, that she would go make him some, you know, some pastry or a little bun. You know, this was not her God that we're talking about. Her God was Baal. Her God was not the God of Israel. Her God was not Jehovah God. And she had no reason to believe Elijah or to trust him or to do any of the things that he was asking her to do. She could have just told him to take a flying hike. Get out of here, right? This is life and death, by the way. And her son, we're talking about the life of her son. So, you know, what really he was asking for was that she would take food or bread out of her son's, and I don't know how old he was, maybe he was 10 or 12 or whatever, but to take food out of your son's mouth who is starving and to give that to a prophet, you know, that takes something extraordinary, and I admire that. What we're learning today, though, is that the story doesn't end. When the jar's got oil in it and it keeps pouring out, that's a great story, and I love the picture. And I love that God provides, and it's really a truth. But that's not where the story ends. And the message that God wants us to understand and listen to today is that, you know, the enemy attacks in waves. And that we need to be, here's the message today, I want you to really understand this. We need to be prepared for the second wave. We need to be prepared for the second wave. A lot of times, we only see the attack of the first wave, and we think, "Oh, good, it's done. I'm good now." We're not good. It's the second wave and the third wave that we need to be a lot more aware of and need to be careful about. And I know, attesting to my own life, there are times when I could chart it. I could honestly chart it. I could almost tell you the time of the year when this happened in my life, if I was graphing my life. There were times when I made it through the first test, and I thought, oh, good. Ha-ha, clear sailing. But I wasn't prepared for the second test. There is a test that follows the first test that we're not prepared for. You understand? Jesus, when he was in the desert, wasn't just tested one time. He was tested three times in three different ways with three different types of temptations that might cause him to stumble, and he stood against it. But it wasn't just one. There was a second wave and a third wave, a wave that we're often not ready for. It's really about strategic military strategies. And if you understand anything about warfare or battles, you'll know that, or if you've ever seen Braveheart, or any, there's lots of examples of this, and you start thinking about it, you're going to go, yeah, this is really true. That this is military strategy, and the enemy understands military strategy. And one of the things that he wants us to understand, or wants us to believe, he tries to make us believe, is that he's weaker than he really is. Now, I know, Dawn, we've had this talk before, and I'm going to get to this. Don't worry. I'm not going to say that Satan's got all this power. He's got all this power. We know. We're going to get to this. God's got way more power. I'll be real clear about this. But let's not miss out that there's a strategy that the enemy has that he wants us to think that he's weaker than he really is. And so it's like you're having a fight with him, and he gives you a little jab, you know, to the cheek, and you go, well, that wasn't too bad. And you turn to your buddy and you go, you know, I think I've got this. This guy, you know, just a little left jab, that was nothing. And we don't see, you know, the haymaker that's coming, his right. You know, boom, because we've turned away and we start looking at each other. I think I got this. The pride starts to come in. We go, he's not that tough. You know, he will show us a lesser hand than what he has. He'll try to show us that he's weaker than he really is, so that he can use the full force of his strength. And this is military strategy. It's really called an ambush. You send in a few people, just a small part of one troop. You send in one small part of one troop, and they battle against all the enemies. But what they aren't seeing is that suddenly all the others are surrounding them, and they've been distracted, thinking, oh, good, we're going to easily be able to wipe out this small troop. You following me here? And what really happens is that there's a lot of strength that's coming because we've let our guard down. You following me? We let our guard down, and really it's a message. The message is, be aware of the second wave. A lot of times in my life, I've been good with the first wave. I was ready for it. I knew that Satan was going to attack, but I let my guard down. And I wasn't prepared for the strength, for the persistence of the second wave. And if you follow me here, and we look at Scripture, we'll see that this is really a common thing. That there's lots of examples, you know, especially in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well, of people who get victory over the enemy, and then next thing you know, they're back in the battle again, and they don't realize it. And that's what happens. I think we get victory, we start to celebrate, we start to dance, and we're just so happy, and we're singing, you know, great songs, but we're letting our guard down, and we aren't aware that, man, it's actually after the first wave, I need to be even more vigilant. That's right. More vigilant. Let's look at a couple of examples from Scripture. Think about Abraham. I talked about him last week, for example. Abraham is known for his faith. I'm going to do these kind of quickly. Abraham was known for his faith, and God answered Abraham's prayer. He's 99 years old. Remember, we talked about this last week. His wife is 90, and they have a baby, and they go, whoa, you know, the enemy, he can't win this battle. The womb of Sarah has been open, and a little baby is born named Isaac, and they're praising God, and it's an amazing victory. But, you know, it isn't only a few years later that this very same little boy, Isaac, that there's another test. So there is a test after the test. That's really what we're talking about. And that the test for Isaac and for Abraham, in that case, was going up Mount Moriah, where God says, you're going to have to sacrifice your son, and you need to prove, here's another test to prove your faith. I'm not going to have time to explain all of this, just a few examples. What about Moses? Think about Moses. You know, he goes to Pharaoh time after time. Let my people go. Come on, Pharaoh. God is sovereign. Jehovah is sovereign. Out of the hands of the Egyptians, out of the hand of bondage. And God sends the plagues, and ultimately Moses leads his people out of Israel. They plunder, literally, they plunder the Egyptians. And he leads them out of Egypt, and they're going, hallelujah, right? We just sang it today, right? He crossed the Red Sea. We sang it. How's it go? He split the sea. He split the sea so we could walk right through it, right? Thank you. So they're celebrating. They're going, yes, we got victory over the enemy. He's under my feet. Until they get to the Red Sea. And the next thing you know, like it's only a page later, and here's the test after the test. They're standing at the shore. And there's thousands of them. And they see that coming behind them, that cloud, are all the chariots of the Egyptians. And there's the test after the test. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Right? It's just, the Bible is full of these examples. Daniel. Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, just get delivered from the furnace, from the fire. And Daniel gets promoted to be the top satrap. Sorry. He's at one of the top, he's the second in control, or second in charge of the whole kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. Everything's going well in Daniel's life, right? The enemy has been defeated. Man, they couldn't burn up his friends. Except that, you know what happens the next page? Is Daniel is in a lion's den, and he's got some lions sniffing his collar. Right? Because why? Because that is the test that comes after the test. There's not just one test. There's a test that comes after the test. Daniel's a perfect example of that. And I could talk about David. Where's my Bible? There it is. David, you know, just a few pages after David defeats Goliath, you know, a few pages after he defeats Goliath, we find that his life is in peril because King Saul wants him dead. Right? So it's when we think that all is going well, it's when we think that we've got the enemy on the run, that a lot of times what's happened is the enemy has just only shown us the hand he wants us to see. And we need to understand that he's got a lot more. He's more powerful. He's not all powerful, and we're going to get to that. We have a God who's given us much more power than Satan. But just understand this, that he wants you to think that he's weaker than he really is. Because when you do that, this is, again, military strategy. When you do that, you only look at maybe a little problem here, and you're not looking around you anymore. You're not seeing how he might be ambushing your life. One more example is Elijah himself. Let's talk about Elijah. Elijah, the same prophet who was with the widow of Zarephath. If we open, you know, just change to the next page in 1 Kings 18. Or 1 Kings 19. You know, everything is going good in Elijah's life. You got to kind of almost envy his life. You go, wow, that's pretty cool that what you do, you know, works. God says, go to the widow, and you go to the widow. And the oil and the flour, and then he heals a little boy. We'll get to this in a minute, too. The boy is dead. He heals a little boy. I mean, everything is happening. All of his prayers are being answered, right? And then the next page, we hear about how he takes on the prophets of Baal. And they're on Mount Carmel. And there's this showdown between God, the prophet of God, and the prophets of Baal. And God wins. God sends fire down from heaven, right? So things are going really good in Elijah's life. His prayers are being answered. The enemy is on the run. And then we hear that there is, we read next that there is rain about to begin. So Elijah predicts it. He says, you know, there hasn't been rain. There's been a drought in the land, but there's a little cloud in the sky. And you can read this on your own later. But so God is doing exactly, you know, working in coordination with Elijah, and a rainstorm comes, and the drought is over, and you'd go, wow, to be Elijah. All these amazing miracles, all these wonderful things. The enemy is on the run, man. The enemy is on the run. He's afraid of Elijah. He's passed the test. And now listen to this. 1 Kings 19. This is like three verses later. In fact, I'll read it for you. Look at the end of 18. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Like he does the Hussein Bolt thing, except even faster. He's just, like, he is just booking it. He can run faster than a chariot. Everything's going great, right? But now listen to this, verse 3. Well, I'll just, might as well read one. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like the one of them. And now hear this. And Elijah was afraid. And Elijah was afraid. And he ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba in Judah, and he left his servant there. While he himself went on a day's journey into the desert, and he came to a broom tree, and he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. You see what's going on here? You see that the enemy is relentless? You see that it's when we're riding the wave and we're thinking that everything is wonderful and that, you know, we have victory and this is easy and the enemy isn't hard to defeat, that suddenly he comes at us from a different angle. He uses a different tact. He uses a different strategy to, and it can be a sickness, it can be poverty, it can be, you know, any number, it can be depression, it can be darkness, but he's not done. And yes, it's true that greater is he who's in me than the one who's in the world. So we don't need to be afraid, and again, I'm not done with this, we're going to get to that. This is not about us being afraid, this is about us being informed. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience that there have been times in my life when I was not ready for the second test. I was ready for the first test. I wasn't ready for the second test. And my knees buckled when I came under that test. Now, in this case, the widow from Zarephath, you know, you think she hasn't been through enough. And God had shown himself to her as Almighty God, as a God who cares for her and loves her, as a God who includes her. He wants to save her, right? And everything is going well in her life until her son gets sick. Can you imagine that? I mean, because that's kind of how this works. It's exactly about her son. She's finally just rejoicing. My son's going to live. He's not going to starve to death. There's oil and there's bread. Everything is going good. And then he gets sick. Why do these things happen? Why does life have these kind of bumps in the road? Because it's the second test, that's why. Because God's not done. Because God is a relational God. He wants to know her. He wants to show all of Israel that he's going to provide. He's going to take care. And how hard that must have been for her. I mean, some of you have children. You know how hard that would be. You've got a son, and you just breathe easily. It seems like you're just going, oh, he's going to be okay. We got food. And then he dies. Why does that happen? Because that just takes the life out of you, man. That's like getting a gut shot, right? And it happens so that God can show who he is. I am your God. And I even want to save this foreigner, this widow from Zarephath. I'm going to save her. And I'm going to show her that I am her God too. And when he does, when Elijah takes the little boy and he lays on him three times and he prays, he must have been praying. And by the way, that's good advice here. If you're ever needing to pray for someone who needs to be raised from the dead, or you never ever need to raise someone from the dead, you should pray. I think he probably would, right? He's crying out to God. God, you know, what are you doing this for? Raise up this boy. Let him live. Let him live. Let him live. He prays it three times and the boy comes back to life, right? Thank you, Jesus. He comes back to life, and here's what the woman says. She says, now I know. Now I know that you are a prophet of God, that God's word is true, and now I know that your God is the true God. Isn't that good? So why does this all happen? It happens so that we testify that God is real, that God is true, and that his word is truth. Amen? Amen. So this is not about fear. We don't need to be afraid. This is about understanding. This is about being prepared. This is about understanding that the enemy isn't finished. He's relentless. He is not all-powerful. He may not even be nearly as strong as we give him credit for. But sometimes he'll catch us off guard by pretending to be weak or by showing his weaker hand, you know, or maybe giving you a temptation that you go, well, I can handle that one. And then you don't see the one you can't handle because you haven't been prepared for it and you've let your guard down. And that, now get this part, and that this happens in our lives when things are going well. Uh-huh. Just give me a minute here. I just got to get a chair because I'm going to sit for a bit on this one. So, there are things that go well in our lives, and then we're not ready. things that go well, we get prayers that are answered maybe, or we're feeling that God's promises are really for us, or we're seeing things happen in our families. You know, I've been thinking a lot about our church, and not just my opinion, but at least I think I can say that this is leaders. We are in a season of real blessing. We're in a season of amazing things are happening. We got more people coming who are learning about intimacy even right now. We have a few people who went into the river last week. Like, this is not normal stuff. This is unusually good blessings. This is the wonders of God, and we ought to acknowledge it. And we ought to be able to say to each other, you know, things are going good. But we also need at the same time to go, so we better be careful. Things are going well. So let's really be on our guard. Because you know what? The enemy's not done. He's not finished. There will be another wave of attack. There'll be maybe even a stronger artillery. It's like at Pearl Harbor, there was two waves. You know, the first wave set up for the second wave. The enemy isn't finished, and it's good that we start thinking about what he's doing, because what God is doing, because we're in a season of harvest. We've prophesied about this. There have been some words about this. There are some really unbelievably cool things happening. There are people coming to the Lord. We're getting more opportunity to minister to people in the kitchen than I think we've ever had before. Alvin is doing a great job in a ministry as an evangelist down there. There's some doors that are opening. We have Cowboys, which is now Renew. You know, we're working on this thrift store, which literally God just threw into our laps and said, here's a dream. And it's going to be such an amazing thing, because you're going to get to know hundreds of people, and there will be opportunities to share Christ and to ask people to be part of this community. And it's going to provide some jobs for people, and hopefully it'll provide some finances for ministry and for furthering and for growing this ministry. All of which we go, well, thank you, Jesus. That's good news. That's joy. Yeah. But it's also, when that happens, it's also a time to go, yeah, but wait a minute. Now we better be careful. You know, like this is I love this season. Believe me, I love the season of rejoicing. I love to hear the testimonies. I love the dreams, you know, of the light shining, the glory of the Lord coming on Red Deer. I love all of that. But boy, we better be careful, because he's not done. And we got to stand on the promise that the power of the blood of Jesus gives us such power that we can stand against him. We can stand against the enemy. We do not need to be afraid. So I'm not saying any of this so that we go, oh, we need to be scared. We don't need to be scared. Because really all that we're talking about here is that there's going to be more opportunities, way more opportunities to stand against the enemy and to see him collapse and to see him fall under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have, if our eyes are open and if we work together in unity as the body of Christ, we're going to see the enemy flee. And if we resist him, he will flee from us. If we resist him, he will flee from us. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that he prowls around like a cottontail, like a curious cottontail. It says that it's like a roaring lion, that he prowls around like a roaring lion. So we need to be aware. Just be aware. God is doing amazing things. And he's cleaning up downtown. Amen? Yeah. He's starting to clean up downtown. And for whatever reason, and I am going to tell you a few things here now, I don't even know how to tell them. I'm going to just lay it out, and you can make it what it is. And there's a part of this it's just humbling would be the best word. And so when I'm done telling you this, you're going to go, well, how? And I'm going to just say to that how question, I don't know how, but I do know why. So I don't know how, I know why. The why is because God wants to continue to clean things up and to provide hope for people in the downtown who don't have hope. So, you agree with that? And maybe the answer to the how question, how is this possible? And if you're asking that question, by the time I'm done here, you're going, what is going on here? but you'll understand in a minute. But if you're asking the how question, how is this possible? There is only one answer to that question, and that one answer is prayer. It's true. We have been praying, but not just us. The church in Red Deer has been praying for a revival, for a move of the Holy Spirit, for a cleaning up, for a reclaiming. Can we say it that way? For reclaiming what was once the territory of the enemy, which now God is saying, no. This is not yours. It's mine. And the old cowboys, we're not calling it that name anymore, the Renew. Renew is one good example of that. And I'm going to share a second example of that. Is that ready, that picture? Okay, I'll point at you, Tim. Can you put that picture on? So this is, I don't even know how to explain. I can't explain this except to say that because of your prayers, because of the power of God, there is another building that's going to be coming down. And yeah. It's not coming down. It's going to change. And I'm moved. You know, I really am. I don't know why God is showing us such favor. I don't. But he is. And it isn't about me. It isn't about the leadership. It's about God and that he answers prayers. Right? And at this point, there isn't any one of us that knows what we're going to do with this. All we know is that God, in his miraculous, powerful way, is offering it. And that's a story we'll get into another day. But he's making it available because he wants to reclaim what has been dark and what has been used for Satan and for his purposes. He wants to reclaim that, and I don't understand how this is possible. I really don't. And if anything, I resisted this. My wife will tell you that. I said, no way. You're busy, too busy, can't do this. And Krista would say, no, if this is what God is making available and making possible, then we will, no matter what. So I'm not going to talk about that anymore except to say that this is something to pray about. We don't know what it will be, but I know it will be for God. Amen. Yeah. And it is humbling. It's really, really humbling. So God has a purpose for it. No idea what the purpose is, but I know one thing, God will make that clear, right? Because God is good at this. God's good at saying, just have faith, and I'll show you what this can be used for. And I know you're going to have 100 ideas. That's okay. Let's put those ideas together. But since we're learning that prayer actually works, it really works, and it can break down strongholds, and it can just be amazingly, give us amazing blessings, let's just keep praying. Let God show what his purpose is. Let God show. But now back to the point. The point is, okay, this is a good thing. This is a really good thing. This is God pouring out favor. This is another one of God's wonder, a wonder of God. But let's be careful. Here's what the Word of God is saying to us. Let's be vigilant. Let's understand, man, we got to understand this, that the enemy isn't going to like this. That bar was used for 20 years to do all kinds of things. The enemy, if you think the enemy is going to let go of that without some kind of an attack, without some kind of pushback, without some kind of whatever it is, if you think that's going to happen, then you've let your guard down. And I'm preaching this to me because I know that I'm going to be under attack, so I need your prayers, okay? I don't want to stumble again. I want to be strong in this. I want to stand against whatever he wants to do against me. I can't do that alone. Will you please pray? Because there's a second wave, and there'll be a third one. If we're faithful to God, if we trust him, if we say to God, okay, God, I just want to be obedient. Show me. I think, actually, Robin prayed this earlier. God, just show us what you want, and we'll do what you want, God. And that's our prayer. If we do that, he will show us not only what's ahead of us, not only what the next page is or what the next dream is, or what the, but he loves to show us who's behind us and how to defend against him. Amen? And that we do that, honestly, we do that together. We need each other. Because, yeah, greater is he who's in me than the one who's in the world. But it's when we stand together as a body of Christ that we stand in a circle that we see. I don't see what's going on behind me. Are you making faces? You could be making faces at me, right? We need to stand arms linked together so that we know where the enemy is and how he wants to attack us. And believe me, he'll find a new way. He won't work necessarily the old way that he did before. He won't be that obvious. He'll find another way to try to infiltrate and try to manipulate and try to strategize in a way so we'll stumble again. He would love to see us do nothing. He would love to see me do nothing but stumble again. But I am determined with the faith and with the power that God gives me and with your prayers and with the unity that we enjoy together that we're going to stand against this. Amen. And that's all. Let's pray. Actually, maybe Don and Chad, can we just pray all, and just any other of the leaders who are here today, can we just stand up here and grab that mic? Can we just pray as leadership? I think that would be awesome. Yeah, why don't we do that after? We'll all come up and pray. Let's stand together. Amen. Is there anyone I'm missing here?
You got Gaston?
Yeah, Gaston, you can come on up. And Darcy, just there's a whole bunch of people. I don't know who to not ask now. But let's just pray with the four of us, and then let's all come together. That's a good idea. Let's stand in unity today. So I pray for that, God.
Lord, we pray for wisdom in this. Lord, everything, strategies and battles, all wisdom, and you have the ultimate wisdom. So, Lord, we pray you'd give wisdom to Stan, the leadership, everyone in this church, Lord, and wisdom in their prayers, that there'd be strategic prayers too. Lord, the enemy can be overcome, and we can push back those waves even before they hit. So, Lord, give us that wisdom and give us that drive within us that we would see things coming, we'd be discerning, and, Lord, we would stand firm with you. Lord, we do stand firm with Stan and with Potter's Hands, Lord, and we thank you for all the opportunities you're given Potter's Hands to clean up this downtown and to take this town. Lord, we ask for Red Deer as an inheritance here. Lord, that your glory would fall throughout the entire area of Red Deer. And Lord, we'd see tremendous growth in people being saved, people being set free. Lord, that your goodness would flow through here like a river. Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you that you are preparing us for revival. Lord, we choose humility, and we thank you that we will overcome the enemy's work by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Father. Help us to lock arms like never before and support each other like never before. Praise you, Lord.
God, I ask that you would do in whatever way you choose, God, that to expose the work and the plans and the schemes of the enemy, that, God, you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear and understand what your Spirit is doing and what the enemy is doing, God, and that the enemy's work would be exposed. Yeah. That the enemy's work would be exposed, that we would see his ways and we would understand, and that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would come against all of the enemy's work, and he would be silenced and he would be crushed under our feet. God, I pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up in our lives, in this church, and in this city, and in every other church in this city, God, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be proclaimed and honored and glorified, and that there would be a purification, God, that would come into this city, a purifying and a wave of holiness, that a wave of holiness would come, God, and that others would see the dream that you gave Anita, that others would see it, not only in people in this building and in this congregation, but God, in other believers, other saints that you have in Red Deer, God, reveal. I pray that you would reveal that same dream to them, and that together, God, as your body of believers in this city, Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Jesus Christ would be lifted up like a lighthouse, and that he would shine. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ would shine, and the work of the enemy would be exposed and crushed and removed in Jesus' name. So God, prepare and protect Stan and Crystal, his sons, their wives, their grandchildren. God, protect Stan and his family in every way in Jesus' name.
Father, we are you and the end of the day's church, and we are moving in, and you're going to go before us. We're going to trust you, Lord. May we understand you well. Give us wisdom, Father, wisdom of Solomon, not just the everyday wisdom, Father. May we have your wisdom, and we have your love. We're going to need your love, for often we are attacked to hate back. But we are your church, Father. May we love back those that will hate us. And we'll be merciful towards those that will attack us. May we love, Father. We are responsible for souls. When we pray for Red Deer, we pray for souls. We pray for Red Deer to be saved, to come to a knowledge of you. Father, we are privileged. In this day, you're giving us tools. We're asking for wisdom because we know as we move forward, we will be under the umbrella of being attacked and being put under the trouble of we know what's coming. Give us wisdom, Father, I pray, that we give us wisdom to seek you in the morning and not wait too long to seek you, so that we may not wait and then be in trouble before we seek you. Oh, Father, give us wisdom. We know that you're moving among us, and we are excited about it. But we're trying to be wise, Lord. We're trying to be wise. Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I just think that, I like that picture, that Would you gather around us? I think that'd be great. Maybe a few of you would pray for the leaders. I think we need that as a leadership. Where are we going? You know, what does God want to do? How's He showing us? How does He want to move? What is the dream that He has? Maybe there's a few that would just pray over our leadership today.
Pray first of all over this congregation. I just pray that you lift us up. I just see big, mighty things for Potter's Hands. And Lord, Potter's Hands is already a big word, big words. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be bigger, Lord. And you know what you want for us to do. Father God, I just pray over this building. I pray that you give us wisdom and insight to what you want to happen with that. You are tearing down darkness and bringing up light. And God, we just pray over that building right now. Right now, Lord, that your will and work will be done for that building. And that it will be so clear, God, what is supposed to happen with that building. That there won't be a left or a right, that it'll be so known. So known, Jesus, what you want Potter's Hands to do with that. I just pray for strength for all of the people here. Pray for strength for Stan and Crystal. I pray, I just pray for the knowing. Just help us to know, God. And rise us up, God. Rise us up as a congregation to just come in and do big, mighty things for Red Deer. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And above all, help us to show love. Help us to show your love, Jesus, not ours. thank you.
Dear Lord, you said in Scripture that all power was given to you in earth and under the earth when you rose again and talked to your disciples. So you already have the keys for the kingdom, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we just pray that you give us wisdom and insight what you want us to do with these buildings that you are providing for us. We've been praying for this, dear Lord. We even pray for it down at the Hope Mission. And they are coming down, dear Lord. Your power is evident. It's coming out of your prayer, out of our prayers, into your strength. This is not a battle we have been fighting. You've been fighting it. And thank you, dear Lord, that it is coming down. We lay all this at the foot of thy cross, dear Lord, and this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great and awesome God, when I was walking in downtown and I would see something that's not pleasing to you, I ask you to close those places and to put something there that will be pleasing to you. And thank you for answering our prayer, and I give you thanks, glory, and honor, and praise. And the Bible said when there are 2 years on an authority, the people will rejoice. Amen. And thank you that through your blood we walk in your righteousness. And thank you that Jesus is over this church. Yes. And thank you that you said when we lift you up, you will draw all people to you. And you have noticed, beloved Jesus, that all our worship song is about you. And every Sunday here and every day of the week, you are lifting up. And thank you that you are going to draw all the people in Red Deer to you, and we are going to go further, all humanity to you, and we give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise. And also you said that those who belong to you, you said when people are putting you down, you will give us the word to speak, to close their mouth. And I pray this for Pastor Stan, for all the leaders, and for all of us when we are attacked, that through God's Holy Spirit, we are going to know how to speak in authority, in a divine way that will be able to shut their mouth, but also, like our brother said, to be able to bring love to them. Because sometimes it's the way we react. And I learned something beautiful today. It's sometimes we talk, Gaston said he was asking question, what did you like? What was the highlight of your weekend? And it's to let them speak that sometimes that's the way their heart open and we can hear the truth. And what a beautiful example to show us. Thank you, Gaston, to have shared that with us. And beloved Jesus, I know that you said to us, you prayed a beautiful prayer of intercession. You said, those who belong to me, and you prayed that to your Father. You said, would you protect them and watch over them? And thank you, Heavenly Father, that we belong to you, and you watch over us, that you love us and you care for us. And thank you, Jesus, for your prayer of intercession. And we give you thanks, glory, honor, and praise, the name above all name. Amen.
The word of the Lord comes to me, and this is what he says. To my warriors, put on your armor. To my warriors, shields up. To my warriors, draw your swords. Hallelujah. You will stand in a circle round about the mission. You will stand in a circle round about the pastorship. You will protect. You will stand there, and on each shield is my eye. I am the eye of God looking out into all of the land. I am keeping protection round about this ministry. There is no way, adversary, you have authority. We have authority. We are your second wave. We are the ones coming against you. You shall not interfere. You shall not be a part of anything that is going on with the children of God. Get out now. Get out now. We have all authority to kick you out. Get out now.
Amen. Let's just sing that together as we conclude. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. No, I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. Thank you. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Sing it out. You split. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Woo. I am a child. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. You split the sea. I like that. Do that again. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Thank you, Jesus. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. No, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Amen. Let's give God a big hand. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance, His good pleasure, His favor upon you. May the Lord give you His peace. Amen.